The Boston Celtics survive and advance to the Eastern Conference Finals. They were taken to the limit by the Washington Wizards. Boston takes game seven, 115 to 105.
Survive. They won. That's another word for what happened last night at the Garden when the Celtics defeated Washington in game seven of the Eastern Conference Finals, which means next stop, Eastern Conference semifinals. I'm going to get this right. Next stop, the finals versus LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. And here to discuss is WBUR Sports and Society reporter Shira Springer. Hello, Shira.
Hello.
Okay, so people are saying that this is an improbable run by the Celtics. Is it?
I don't think so. I mean, let's not forget they are the number one seed in the East, albeit, you know, a weak number one seed. We all know that the Cleveland Cavaliers should have been the number one seed, but they're still a good team with one very good player in Isaiah Thomas, who can completely take over a fourth quarter, it seems, when need be. So this is, you know, they're no pushovers, though they did get off to a bit of a shaky start, dropping two to Chicago and then, you know, having some trouble with Washington. But they should be there in the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't know if they'll challenge the Cleveland Cavaliers much.
Yeah, I mean, so you're being the realistic sports journalist here.
I should be, right?
I'm just going to be the blind fan and say, of course they will. I mean, so let's talk about, I mean, you mentioned Isaiah Thomas, but let's also talk about one of the heroes of last night's game, right? Kelly Olynyk?
I was going to say, you'll never guess. Like anybody who follows the Celtics, they would have never guessed that Kelly Olynyk would be hero of game seven. I mean, he's the 7 foot backup center for the Celtics, and he scored like 14 points in the fourth quarter to basically seal the victory. I mean, it was like three pointers, drive to the basket. I mean, whatever you needed, Kelly Olynyk was there. And usually that's Isaiah Thomas's role, but he took over for Isaiah Thomas.
Okay, so we have tape of Olynyk speaking after the game. And yeah, sorry, Celts fans, I totally screwed up the pronunciation of his name. But
it's okay. A lot of people, I think he floats under the radar. He goes under the radar.
Well, not anymore, right?
It's hard as a 7-footer, but he does.
So here he is. He talked about some words of encouragement he got before last night's game.
Frank called me this morning and, you know, told me, you know, the thing you got to be is be at your best when your best is needed. And, you know, our best was needed tonight and everybody gave it their best and it turned out for us.
So you're going to keep your eyes on him in the Eastern Conference Final then?
Yeah, I mean, I'll keep my eyes on him. I'll keep my eyes on Isaiah Thomas. I'd like to see a little bit more from Avery Bradley. I'll keep my eyes on Marcus Smart. I mean, I'd be pretty surprised. This was, I think it was a career high, playoff career high for Olynyk at 26 points total for the game. I'd be surprised if he duplicates that against the Cavaliers, but hey, stranger things have happened.
Yeah. So one more thing before we move on to other sports news. I want to talk about the fact that lots of people, and even you had a little bit of this earlier, were kind of like, yeah, they're the Celtics are the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. Maybe they shouldn't be. And Isaiah Thomas himself had some words about that in the post-game interview last night.
They didn't give us a chance in this series. They didn't give us a chance when we was down 2-0 to the Chicago. They don't ever give us a chance, and we just keep going. We don't care about what others say.
Okay, so respond to that.
Well, can I just say this is like a time-honored tradition among athletes? I mean, remember when the Patriots were cruising to the Super Bowl? Like, nobody respects them. The world is against them. I mean, this is what athletes do to get motivated. They're the underdogs. They don't get any respect. You know, nobody expected them to do this. Though I do think the Celtics have more of a case than most teams in that respect. People did say, well, yeah, they got the number one seed by being consistent throughout. You know, they didn't, and they thought, well, maybe Washington would present a challenge or more of a challenge. It did go to seven games. Yeah, the Cleveland is still...
Cleveland's still Cleveland.
Cleveland is still Cleveland.
Cleveland still got LeBron James.
I was going to say, yeah, there's a guy named LeBron James. Okay. He's a handful. Newsflash.
Okay. Well, we'll see. I'm still rooting for the Celtics.
I mean, it'd be interesting to see if they could take it, a six or seven games.
Yeah.
Listen, when you are the number one seed, that comes with home court advantage. So any game seven would be back in the Garden. And that's a tough place to play.
So let's hope for that, okay?
Yes.
All right. Now, let's move on here because this June marks the 45th anniversary of Title IX. And, of course, that was the legislation that prohibits educational institutions from making any kind of discrimination on the basis of sex. Now, you're going to be moderating a discussion tonight about Title IX, right?
I am over at Radcliffe. It's co-hosted or co-sponsored by WBUR and Radcliffe, and we are going to be talking with Attorney General Maura Healey, former WNBA player and current WNBA executive Swin Cash. You might remember her from her UConn year. She's also a two-time Olympic gold medalist, a three-time WNBA champion, and rower Jevi Stone. I guess we should now say Dr. Jevi Stone, because she'll be starting her residency at Beth Israel Deaconess. She was a silver medalist in rowing at the 2016 Rio Olympics.
Yeah. So, I mean, so 45 years of Title IX, there's an entire generation represented in the women you're going to talk to, and yourself, honestly, who came up in this world where schools were not allowed to say you can't play because you're a woman or your gender. I mean, how much of a difference did it make? Has it made?
It made a huge difference. I mean, you look at the way that U.S. women dominate international sports, whether it's the U.S. women's soccer team winning the World Cup, the U.S. women's ice hockey team winning the World Championship, and then the gold at when the sport debuted in the Olympics in 1998. Across the board, I think it's the reason U.S. women excel both nationally and internationally in sports. But I think it's sort of like there's like a misconception that the work is done, mm-hmm. or maybe a myth that the work of Title IX is done. Like, oh, great, everybody has equality of opportunity. Well, that was, to me, only a first step. And I think what we're going to talk about tonight is sort of what needs to happen in the future and where we're lagging behind. A lot was made recently of pay inequality
yeah.
with the women's soccer team and the women's hockey team, mm-hmm. national teams. But there are also other things that are happening in women's sports that I think people don't realize. Girls drop out of high school sports at twice the rate of boys. Why is that happening and what can we do about it? Issues like that. Women often have inferior facilities. For the Women's World Cup in 2015, they played on turf fields. There are a lot of issues like that that I think, you know, we need to really keep discussing it. What, you know, women and sports and equality.
So I wonder if this will come up tonight at the event that you're going to be hosting, Shira, because, I mean, one way to measure, I'd say, the success of Title IX is the pushback that it's also gotten. You know, one small example is that some schools, you know, in order to meet the equitable requirements for women's teams, they've had to fold some men's teams for smaller sports. And they've
wrestling
gotten a lot of,
and,
got a lot of pushback for that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is one measure of success. But also, these schools, if they want to, they can, you know, they can find a way. I don't think, you know, Title IX should not be blamed for sports, men's sports disappearing. Where there's a will, there's a way, I think. And sometimes at the college level, the easier choice is to drop men's programs to create a balance. It's also a question of money and funding, and that all comes into it too.
Yeah, so remind us once again, where and when is this talk tonight?
It's at 7 p.m. There's a reception ahead of time at 5:30 if you want something to eat, and it's at Radcliffe. It will be at the Knopfle Center on the Radcliffe campus out in Cambridge.
Okay, great. We'll have more information about that and a link to it at radioboston.org. Shira Springer is WBUR Sports and Society reporter. Thank you so much, Shira.
Thank you for having me.
That's it for today. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.